This week's episode of PFW Chicago Football Podcast is brought to you by Loot Crate. If you go to lootcrate.com/Shaw, use your promo code Shaw to subscribe and get $3 off your first crate. It is the month of April, and this month at Loot Crate, they are saluting some of the favorite mystery solvers. You get items from Stranger Things, Batman, The X-Files, and Marvel's Jessica Jones. And one lucky subscriber this month, it could be you, will also win a mega crate that has signed copies of Jessica Jones, Alias, Volumes 1 through 4. Loot Crate is an awesome thing for those of you who are real into Harry Potter, Marvel Comics, Fallout, Star Wars, all types of pop culture franchises. You get it delivered to your door every single month, a new t-shirt and pin in every crate. Use our promo code SHAW, S-H-A-W. You're going to get $3 off your first crate. We are 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. Let's talk some Bears. Hello, everyone, and welcome to PFW's Chicago Football Podcast. I am your host, Kevin Fishbane. Yes, thank you. We are only 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. You can follow me at KFishbane. Follow all of our work on Twitter at Bears_insider and online at profootballweekly.com/Bears. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Just search PFW Chicago and you will find us. And you know what? Give us a 5-star rating while you're there. We would greatly appreciate it. Got my producer, Dan Mott, with me. My associate producer, John Solly, will be joining us shortly. And our guest on this week's show is going to be Stephen White of SB Nation, who does an awesome job breaking down some of the top draft prospects. And we will talk to him mainly about Jonathan Allen and Solomon Thomas, two guys that could be there at number 3 for the Chicago Bears. So where are we at right now? We're taping this on April 13th, 2 weeks to go to the draft. Pro days are over. So right now we're just kind of getting the visits are all kind of shaking out. Remember, every team gets to invite 30 players for an official visit to their facility. The Bears also have a local pro day, so guys who went to college in the area or high school in the area can go. That doesn't count as one of their 30 visits, but it's kind of interesting to see who the Bears invite in. It's also important to note the Bears aren't going to draft 30 players. They might draft somebody who didn't even visit Hallis Hall at some point. So just kind of, you know, be on the lookout when you see some of these reports. It is interesting to note. And if I hear about someone going in there, I'll tweet it out there. I tweeted about, the Grambling State wide receiver Chad Williams visited this week. I know Illinois State offensive lineman Cameron Lee has visited in the process. So I'll let you know when it happens. Just don't freak out necessarily think the Bears are going to draft that guy, because it is a long process. It is just one piece of the puzzle. One piece of the puzzle, too, for Ryan Pace and his scouts is watching film. I do a little bit kind of amateur film watching for you guys. If you go to profootballweekly.com/Bears, you can see my breakdowns on Jonathan Allen, Solomon Thomas, Marshawn Lattimore, Jamal Adams, and Malik Hooker. But if you want to listen to someone who is much more qualified to watch film than I am, then you're really going to enjoy this interview with Stephen White. He used to play in the NFL. He was on our show last year. He does really great film breakdowns on SB Nation, and he joins us right now to talk Jonathan Allen and Solomon Thomas. For some more NFL draft preview talk, we welcome back to the show Stephen White, former NFL player, and you can find his work about the NFL at sbnation.com. Follow him on Twitter at SGW94. And Steve, I'll start out with this. I do love your Twitter account, so keep up the great work there.
Thank you.
I don't know
Thank
how you. Often you get the feedback on your Twitter, but I am a fan. Without straying too far from sports here, I will tell you I'm a fan of your Twitter account.
Well, I really appreciate that. And of course, I do get feedback. as you know, that's what Twitter's all about. It's just not always that positive, but I just try to be me, so that's all I can do.
The other thing that you do a great job with are your scouting report breakdowns. And we talked on the show last year, and you go about it a little bit of a different way. And you come at it from a former player. And the two guys we're going to highlight with you today are Jonathan Allen and Solomon Thomas, because those are two guys you've written extensively about and two guys that the Bears could consider at number 3. So let's start with Jonathan Allen. You were really impressed by watching some of his games. What stood out to you most about the way he plays?
He's just a great technician. And it's rare to see that out of a college player. You know, coming from Alabama, you kind of expect those guys to be fundamentally sound, but he was so good with his hands. He was a lot more versatile than I gave him credit for initially. He actually had some pretty good rushes out on the edge. But I do think his home is somewhere inside. He's a guy that can really be a dominant pass rusher inside. And so, you know, I just think he's a guy who's ready to start from day one and be productive from day one.
You know, they talk, you look at his pass rush productivity, which is pretty eye-opening for a guy who did rush from the inside in college a fair amount and the outside. What about some of his skill set in terms of getting after the passer do you think translates well to the NFL?
He has really good lateral quickness. And the guy who I kind of compared him to, it was actually two guys, was Gerald McCoy as a pass rusher, though. Gerald McCoy has this great ability to get off the football, get a guy leaning, and then all of a sudden change directions, and they can't keep up with them. And that's the kind of thing you can do, and it doesn't matter if you run a 4.6 40 or a 5.1 40. If you have that kind of lateral quickness, that's going to translate over to the NFL, especially inside. So I look for him to be that kind of guy, you know, a guy who's going to beat you with a lot of finesse moves, but he also has enough power to keep you honest.
When one of the knocks, and I don't know what, I don't really have an opinion on this weakness, but I've seen this out there, is people say, well, look, he played with Reuben Foster and Ryan Anderson and Tim Williams and Dalvin Tomlinson. You look at all those guys in the defense. But when you look at him, did you ever think to yourself, you know, that there's other guys that could help create plays for him? Or did you see an individual being able to make plays regardless of who was on his defense?
Well, and I'm not trying to throw shade at anybody, but if you actually watch film, it doesn't matter who else is on the team. Sometimes the stat sheet might reflect some help that way, although I didn't see that on Jonathan Allen's film. If anything, I saw plays where he was beating his guy and he was already to make a tackle for a loss, and then his teammate comes to get it before him. That was how he actually was affected by having better players around him. But if you look on the film, okay, that's going to tell you whether this guy can beat the man in front of him. It doesn't matter what Reuben Foster or anybody else is doing against the left tackle or the left guard if I'm watching Jonathan Allen against the right tackle dominate him. So, people would throw anything against the wall about this time of year. You know, we're only, what, a couple weeks away now from the draft. So people are going to throw everything against the wall. But look, don't worry about that. If you just watch the stat sheet, yeah, maybe he gets an extra tackle here or a tackle there. And if the rest of his teammates were all terrible, he wouldn't get. But at the same time, he's missing opportunities to make some plays because his teammates get there just a half a second before he is.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, looking at the Bears specifically, you know, they run the 3-4 defense with Vic Fangio. And, you know, 50-60% of the time, they only got the two down linemen. So in the base, Allen would probably be a five technique who could slide a shade in if he needed to in the nickel. You know, how do you see him working if he's a 3-4 base end?
I think you pretty much hit it on the head. His scheme versatility reminds me a lot of Michael Bennett, because Michael Bennett with the Seahawks plays in a 4-3 defense. But he plays all over the place. You know, he can two-gap, he can shoot the gap. Whatever you want him to do, he's a dog in there against the run. And that's the same thing I see from Jonathan Allen. You can line him up all the way at zero nose, head up on the center, and he's going to be productive. So he has scheme versatility. I think he probably is better in a 3-4 than a 4-3 just because there's so many little, you know, a shade here, a shade there that you can do with the 3-4 that you don't necessarily do with a 4-3 inside. But this kid is going to dominate wherever you put him as long as he stays healthy.
And I think, Steve, you know, and you see this now, that the longer it comes until draft time and the more time people have to nitpick with these guys, I think Jonathan Allen's one of those guys that gets hurt by how long it takes until the draft comes, because people are just looking to poke any holes in his game. And I did a mock draft the other day. I put him to the Bears at number 3, and people were really upset. And this is a guy who a couple months ago was a surefire top 3 pick. And then, you know, we get this paralysis by overanalysis. And from your perspective as someone who played the game, and now you're in kind of the other side where you're scouting these things, what do you notice about the fact that this world that we live in, the more time we have, it's almost like we're looking for reasons to knock guys down, when in reality, a guy like Jonathan Allen, as you said, if he stays healthy, it could be a perennial Pro Bowler, could be one of the great players.
Well, you have to remember, what's the major thing that happens between the end of the regular season and the draft? The combine.
Right.
So everybody's all about the film at first, right? Jonathan Allen's film is fantastic. Then you get to the underwear Olympics, and a guy runs a 4.7, and everybody's like, oh, no, look at this shiny thing over here. And because, you know, Jonathan Allen didn't necessarily run a fast time or some kind of eye-popping numbers on the bench press, people get more impressed by the athleticism and stuff in a gym in underwear rather than they do what a guy does on film. But by the time the draft actually comes around, I think people start kind of reeling themselves in and being like, okay, it's great that this guy can dunk a basketball, but can he beat a right guard to get a set? That's what I need to know, and that's what Jonathan Allen can do.
Yeah, yeah. And one of those shiny underwear models was Solomon Thomas, who's the next guy we'll talk about, because he was someone that, you know, you would say blew up the combine. And I think if you look at mock drafts from 3 months ago, no one had him in the top 5, and now everyone seems to have him number 2. I've even seen some that don't have him number 2, have him number 3. You, however, Stephen, were not as impressed with Solomon Thomas as some people have been. When you flipped on the tape, correct me if I'm wrong, you did not see necessarily one of those high nonstop motor guys. Is that correct?
Yeah, you might be underselling it there. Yeah, I know this is probably a family program, so you can't repeat what I said about his effort. But it absolutely was unacceptable. And I'm always upfront about the fact that I'm old school. You know, I was raised by Rod Marinelli in the NFL, yeah, where you know you ran until your throat. Your tongue was hanging out your throat, and then you ran some more. So, you know, I don't really play that whole not running to the ball thing. And Solomon Thomas's film, when it comes to effort, probably I haven't seen a guy that bad since Aaron Donald. And Aaron Donald literally walked on the field on one play. Like, he was just like, I'm chilling. So, but Aaron Donald also was getting sacked almost every other play and beating guys and being productive. The thing about Solomon Thomas is, I can show you just his highlights, and you'll be sure that he should go as a first round, the top pick in the draft overall. But then when I show you his bad plays, then you're like, these don't even look like the same two guys. Whether it's the effort, whether it's missing sacks, whether it's guys running through his tackle attempt, he got a lot of work to do. He's still not a finished product, and he's young. He's coming out early. So he's got time to mature and get better at these things. But he's not nearly the finished product as Jonathan Allen. And so if you're a fan who's clamoring for this guy because he ran a 4.71 and some shorts and a t-shirt, I'm not saying that he can't be a productive player, because like I said, if he can get consistent in some areas, he could be one of the all-time greatest. But you better understand that he's probably not going to be that productive early on, because he still has to work on these things and he still has to mature.
Yeah, and I think the North Carolina game encapsulated that pretty well, because I remember I went back and watched him at the Draft Breakdown website, and I'm excited to watch North Carolina game because that's the game everyone talks about. And you saw those 3 or 4 splash plays he made, and then you didn't really see Thomas show up very much the rest of the game. I mean, it wasn't like he was probably more active in that game and some of the other games I watched. But is that the time when you watched that game? I mean, did you kind of see the difference there, and like you saw kind of maybe a high ceiling, but also you're wondering why isn't this happening on more than a few number of snaps?
I mean, if Mitch Trubisky goes number one overall or close, it'll probably be because he made Solomon Thomas look silly a couple times in that game. He just kept missing him. He could, he would be his guy, but for whatever reason, whether he was over anxious or whatever, he just kept missing the quarterback. And then you had some of the effort plays. And look, my first, I don't really get to watch much college football because I'm so engrossed with the NFL. So the pretty much the only exposure I had to Solomon Thomas before I did his breakdown was I happened to catch some of that bowl game while it was on. And I happened to catch the end where he, you know, gets the sack on the 2-point play and that ends the game or what have you. So that's my only that was my only exposure to him. So I was kind of like you. I'm like, I'm excited to see this game. I kind of remember this guy being dominant. And I'm looking, I'm like, well, he should have been dominant. But for some reason, he kept missing plays. Guys were running out of tackle attempts. He did make some big plays. But again, it's kind of like the story of all the rest of the game. His highlights in that game make you think this guy is a future Hall of Famer. But then you look at some of the other plays, and you're like, I'm not sure if this guy should be drafted at all.
Yeah. Now, when you look at what he does do best, what are some of those things that when you see those highlights, what are some of the things that really do stand out to you?
Oh, he's very athletic. You see the athleticism on film, right? It's not a secret. When he has one-on-one opportunities, especially inside, he's a handful. And even sometimes when you try to double team him, he's very much a guy who can beat you with finesse. But he's pretty strong, too. They even rushed him out on the edge a few times. And you know, he should have had probably 3 or 4 sacks. He ends up blowing up the right tackle. And then the quarterback just runs right by him. So, you know, if he can fix those kind of things, then he could probably be. He's not as tall as J.J. Watt. But as far as moving him around and let him dominate all up and down the offensive line, he could be a J.J. Watt type player if he can fix those other issues.
Yeah, and then, you know, he seems to have the scheme versatility as well. Where do you think you could see him line up potentially? Like if the Bears took him, for example, and they got their 3-4 defense, how do you think they could employ him?
Oh, I think in a 3-4 defense, you use him a lot like you use J.J. Watt. Put him at left defensive end early on, bring him inside on later down, and go from there. But if I had my druthers, I know we're talking about the Bears, but if I had my druthers, I'd love to see him just at left defensive end in a 4-3, attacking style defense. Because I think he would give right tackle fits. And if somebody could just, you know, work with him a little bit on escaping off of the block, he'll have 10 sacks a year just off bull rush.
We're talking to Stephen White, former NFL player, covers the NFL and previews the draft at SB Nation. I just have a couple more questions for you, Steve. Before I get to those, scouting reports and the internet wasn't necessarily the biggest thing when you were drafted, but did you read any of your scouting reports? Were you able to catch any of the things people wrote about you coming out of college?
So, like a year ago, I did at the time. Like, I was totally not into the internet when I was in school at all. I'm not even sure if I had an email address until I got into the pros. But for a year ago or so, for some reason, I decided to look up scouting reports on myself. And I did find one, which was interesting because they said that they needed to find out why I had a worse senior year than my junior year, even though I had more sacks and more tackles my senior year. So, you know, it is what it is. I ended up being a 6th-round pick, so I probably didn't merit that much attention anyway, but I thought that was kind of funny that they said that my senior year was worse than my junior year.
Right, and you got drafted in 96, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, well, I don't have the Pro Football Weekly 1996 draft guide in front of me, but I'm going to go try to find that. I'm going to see what PFW might have said about a young Steve White back in college. I know you haven't done any defensive backs, but I just want to know your philosophy as someone who knows the game so well. What do you have to see from a safety to be comfortable with a team taking him in the top five?
He would almost have to look like Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
In college. And that's hard to do. Now, I'll say this. I don't break down defensive back, but I was so curious because everybody's talking about the safety this year, and I've seen the kid, Jamal Adams, just because he plays in the SEC. But I turned on the tape of the kid from Ohio State. I don't remember his name.
Malik Hooker?
Yes.
Yeah.
He looked like Deion Sanders on one play.
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely did. And I said, you know what? I can't say this because I don't do breakdowns on them, and I don't want people to get the impression that I'm saying this guy is going to be Deion Sanders or he should go in the first round in the top five pick. But on at least two plays, I was like, is this guy really a safety? Because that break looked just like a young Deion. So let me just say that I'm usually anti-top five secondary altogether. Like, you have to be very special to get in the top five. But that kid showed me some glimpses of top five talent. And of course, Adams can do so many different things. He's a return guy, stuff like that. So he's a different kind of player, in my opinion. But that kid from Ohio State, man, he got me a little excited.
All right, everybody, you heard it here first. Stephen White thinks Malik Hooker's Deion Sanders. Go tweet us. 94. Go on.
I said it'll be the headline for real.
No, we don't. We won't do you like that. But
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about everybody else.
Everybody else. Yeah.
Yeah. How they go?
I'll wrap up with this. Another philosophical question for you, as someone who knows this game so well, the quarterback spot. The Bears are a team that has ignored the position in terms of draft for years. They give Mike Glennon a contract that sets him up to start this year, but not necessarily in 2018. What's kind of your take on when, if, just put on a GM's hat in terms of trying to find a franchise quarterback? What do you think about, and with this draft specifically, where it doesn't look like there's a necessarily number one guy who could go in the top five? What's kind of your general philosophy on drafting quarterbacks?
Well, as a rule, I would draft a quarterback in the top five rounds every year until I actually found one.
Yeah.
If I already had one, I would still probably draft one at least in the sixth round every year, just in case. Because I believe in two things. I believe you can't really get things done without at least a serviceable quarterback who won't turn the football over in the NFL. And believe it or not, those guys are really hard to find. Everybody thinks the game managers are easy to find. No, because most quarterbacks that people define as game managers actually suck and keep turning the football over. A true game manager is a guy who doesn't turn the football over. Maybe he doesn't make the huge play, but he doesn't make the big, let's call it Brock Osweiler play. So he doesn't get you beat. And those guys are hard to find. So I think you have to at least have that guy in play. And I believe in competition. Unless you have a Tom Brady or a Drew Brees or somebody of that caliber, I believe in letting guys compete. Maybe not having an open competition, but I want the quarterback position to be as competitive as any position on the team. And I'm always going to be looking to upgrade it because, once again, it comes back to this. You look at the Texans last year. What could they be with just a fair to middling quarterback?
Right.
And you're never going to get that exact team back again, right? Usually you have 1 year to do it. I don't care if you sign these guys a 4 or 5 year contract. Trades happen, cuts happen, guys go looking for more money. They're never going to have that same defense again as they had last year. And they ended up with Brock Osweiler quarterback. So, I feel like, look, y'all got Mike Glennon. I'm very familiar with him. I won't give you my take on him because, hey, it doesn't even matter. But I would continue to try to upgrade that position until I found my guy.
Yeah. Well, that's what a lot of people think the Bears should do, and we'll see what they actually do, obviously, in 2 weeks. Stephen White, follow him on Twitter at SGW94. If you go to sbnation.com/author/Stephen-White, you can check out his scouting reports. I see Miles Garrett, Jonathan Allen, Ryan Ramczyk, Mike Williams, Derek Barnett, Solomon Thomas. Steve, you got any more guys coming up?
I'm actually working on Malik McDowell. I just got his last tape done right before you called. So he's coming soon. I just did Corey Davis's. I just finished his other day. I'm so impressed with that kid. And I'll go ahead and say it now. My comparison to Corey Davis is Brandon Marshall. Wow. And right. I think they're like long lost brothers, to be honest with you. On the field.
Yeah. Well, Corey Davis is a Chicago area guy, so folks around here will be paying close attention to where he gets drafted, certainly. Steve White, great stuff as always. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the last couple weeks before a draft. Enjoy all the people, the haters on Twitter, and anybody dissing any of your scouting reports.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. Another big thank you to Stephen White for breaking it down for us. Again, follow him on Twitter at SGW94. He does tweet a lot. I enjoy his tweets. I don't know if you necessarily will, but really good stuff breaking down some of these players. Now joined by John Sally, associate producer, who did not big time us this week. He is joining the program. John, it means so much to both Dan and me that you're able to find time in your schedule to talk some Bears draft with us.
You know, it's nice to come down and hang with you garbage people for a little while.
Coming down to talk to the commoners.
It's a busy time. It's NFL draft, guys. Come on.
It is NFL draft time. Well, John, what happened before you came on was Steve White loves Jonathan Allen and not so much Solomon Thomas, which if you read his reports, you'll know that. And it was interesting to hear him really talk about what a great technician Jonathan Allen is. And he said, you flip on the tape, you watch what he does, and you can't help but be impressed. And I told him, and we talked about how this paralysis by overanalysis that Jonathan Allen, I feel, is suffered by how long this process takes. And I had him going to the Bears in my Bears mock draft, which I'll get to in a minute. And people were really upset. And I feel like if I had him going to the Bears in January, people would have been kind of into that. I know it's not a sexy pick, a five technique. And I don't know what they're going to do at number three. But he, you know, there's some people who think that he might be one of the best pure players, period, in this draft. So he can start for you on a defensive line for 5 to 10 years. And hearing Stephen White break him down kind of validates that he's that good of a player. But you know, the shoulder questions, the fact that he didn't necessarily blow up the combine, suddenly people are like poking holes in his game.
Yeah, Kevin, in your mock drafts, if you don't have Jamal Adams or Malik Hooker or the occasional Deshaun Watson, you are getting roasted by Bears fans all across the great state of Illinois. So, which is too bad because I agree with Jonathan Allen has everything you want in a five technique. And yeah, you know, his career may not last as long, but he's still, I feel like, a generational talent on the defensive line, which, by the way, is still an area of need for the Bears.
It is. I mean, and what I wrote about is just imagine a defensive front with all those guys, with Leonard Floyd, with Pernell McPhee, you know, with Keem Hicks, who had a great year last year. And you can see, you know, how good they could be. I'm going to run through that Bears mock draft quickly for you. And I got just torched by Twitter and Facebook. I went Jonathan Allen 3, and I explained my reason. I said, this is what I'm thinking happens if they go best player available. They don't want to trade down. They don't want to take quarterback at 3. That's who they would take. Second round, they get their safety, Josh Jones, NC State. I think he could be a really good player, a good blend of physicality and ball skills. And then, John, everyone got upset because I had the Bears.
Before you get into that trade, yes. In your mock draft here, was Buda Baker gone?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's what I was thinking in my head, was that Buda Baker did not get out of the first round, did not make it to the second round. Okay. And same with Melifonwu. That was what I was thinking. I had the Bears trade up for Nathan Peterman. Here's what they traded, okay? They traded their third-round pick and one of their fourth-round picks to get back into the second round and take a guy who's projected to be a third-round pick. And people freaked out because they saw, I mean, they weren't trading up to the number one pick to take Nathan Peterman. I just had to move up a few spots to number 56 to take a guy. I was just reading a scouting report this morning by someone I really respect who says he's got some of the Kirk Cousins, Tony Romo type intangibles and skill set things. And then, look, you have him sit for a couple of years behind Glennon, and you see what you have. And then you draft another quarterback, and it doesn't work out. That's all.
Kevin, you basically traded for Rick Meyer.
Yeah, I gathered that. We'll be run through the rest of these. They have two fourth-round picks. So our fourth-round pick gave them Julian Davenport, Bucknell developmental tackle. They don't really have a young tackle on the team. And then in the sixth round, a cornerback, Marquez White. Again, developmental guy. He's got good size. And then seventh round, Jalen Robinette, a guy out of Air Force, wide receiver, who has kind of the skill set I think the Bears need, a big possession guy. But seventh round, you know, you take it or leave it. But yeah, John got roasted pretty badly. The mute button was on fire the other day. So, for those of you, if you tweet at me and I don't see it, I don't respond to you, it's because I muted you. And that's that.
The mute button is your friend. But I thought your mock draft made a lot of sense because it fills plenty of needs for the Bears. These are all positions of need, and you're filling them with quality players. They're not, it's not the sexy names, but I think that's a draft. If that was a draft the Bears came away with, I think you'd be pretty happy with that. I think that there would be some excitement about that.
One would think. I'm going to throw a hot take at you, though, John.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if it's a hot take. I've said it before, but I'm just going to emphasize it. For everyone that hated my mock draft, if Ryan Pace loves Deshaun Watson or Mitchell Trubisky or Deshaun Kizer, just take him at number three.
Agreed.
I want to make that clear. My mock drafts don't project them to feel that way about any of these guys. But I do think if they do, they should take them that high, because when else are they going to be in this position? Because here's the thing. If they're in the top five picks again next year, these guys aren't going to be the ones making the decisions.
Exactly. So
that's kind of my final draft note. But we're going to cut things a little bit short today with you, John. That's your punishment for missing us last week.
Oh, man.
And we'll get more of your draft thoughts next week. Big thank yous to Dan Mott and John Sally, my loyal, amazing producers. Stephen White was our guest. Big thank you to him. Be sure to follow all of our stuff, profootballweekly.com/bears. Go on profootballweekly.com to get your PFW draft preview magazines. Check out all the scouting report videos that we have up there, some of my breakdowns on our Bears page, and go ahead and subscribe on iTunes. And we're 2 weeks away, so stay tuned. We'll figure out who the Bears are going to take number three. Maybe we'll have more information to answer for you, and we'll have more Bears talk coming at you next week.